I live in a part of a rural part of the country where in the next few weeks, 13 years after work began, rural broadband will finally arrive. The whole parish is just slightly dumbstruck by the prospect of it. It has so many echoes of rural electrification to it, something most think is a social good. The majority want it, but there's a slight hesitation about the changes that it might end up bringing. Rosemary Hartigan has been doing some research into that moment of transformation when electricity arrived into farmhouse kitchens for a talk that she is giving next week, which will be going on in the Agriculture Museum in Johnstown Castle in Wexford. And she joins me in studio now. Good morning to you. There was a cast of characters here associated with rural electrification. There's demonstrators, there was adopters, there was installers, and there was backsliders. Who were the backsliders that so many worried about?
Backsliders were people who initially, when the area was surveyed to see if electricity would be taken up by the community, they had signed up. And when the ESB went back in again and went back to their houses, they'd changed their mind.
And the fear was that they would queer the pitch for everybody.
Totally, because the country was divided up effectively using parish boundaries. And the most economically viable parishes were given electricity first. So I'm very focused on Wexford. And in Wexford, the first places to get electricity were down in the very southwest of the county in Shelburne and up in the north of the county in Inch near Gorey, which doesn't make sense really. But they were the places where people
where there was going to be the highest rate of uptake. And the social engineering that went on to ensure uptake was absolutely mad. For a start, they were preaching from the pulpit about
this. Totally. There was a priest in Tipperary, and I'm sure there were many more, who called names out off the pulpit for people who had let the parish
denounce
them. Totally,
from
yeah.
From the pulpit, good Lord. And the politicians of the day, I mean, not least Sean Lamass.
Yep. He has a great quote in 1945. So rural electrification started off in 1946 with the first pole going up in North County Dublin. But in 1945, he was the Minister for Industry and Commerce. And I'm just going to read this for you because it's class. "I hope to see the day when a girl gets a proposal from a farmer, she will inquire not so much about the number of cows, but rather concerning the electrical appliances she will require before she gives her consent, including not merely electric light, but a water heater, an electric clothes boiler, a vacuum cleaner, and even a refrigerator."
Now, it worked, though. I don't know whether he was just following something or setting the trend here, because it became a chat-up line.
Oh, totally. Women would be at dances and they'd say, "Have you got the electric?" before they'd even entertain a man.
So it wasn't just about herd size or road frontage.
No road frontage at that point. We were very far away from the Celtic Tiger.
We all know the immediate consequence of getting the 100-watt bulb in was that people realised how dirty their kitchens were. But there's some really interesting unintended consequences here, like the workload for the farm housewife going up.
Yes, about 60%, I think it was recorded, of unpaid domestic work. And that is because if you could afford it, a farmer might have a washerwoman coming in to do the washing. And there's evidence passed around that quite a few would have let their washerwoman go and the woman of the house took up the load. But a washing machine was a time-saving device, but still, if you didn't have a pump putting water into your house, you had to get the water from the well or the river to the washing machine. They weren't plumbed in. If you did have water in the house, you still had to boil up the water and put it into the washing machine and drain it. So although it was a time-saving device, it was still labour intensive and you were doing it instead of paying somebody to do it for you.
So there was unemployment, there was increased workload, but you also forget that it wasn't just about electrification. It allowed for running water into the house.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and that was one of the big things. James Dillon was the Minister for Agriculture in 1950 and he was speaking at the ICA's fair at the Mansion House and he was saying again to the young ladies of Ireland, make it known that there will be no more marriages until there is hot and cold water on tap in the kitchen.
Isn't that interesting, again, though, that they realised that it was women who were the agents of economic change?
Absolutely. Because, you see, farmers were being focused on by the ESB initially, and it was very easy to sell electricity to a smallholder or a big farmer, because you would say, well, you could have a pump, or you could feed the animals better, or you could work later because you'd have a light out in the barn. But it was then focusing on the women to get the men to bring that power into the house.
I love the priority that is attached to what it was that people wanted to run off the electricity. Yes, obviously the 100-watt bulb, thankfully the radio as well.
Yes.
But special place for the Sacred Heart.
Absolutely. Anecdotally, so I come from a family of electricians. My dad told us it, my uncle who's still alive told us, and it's recorded in numerous documents, that if you went into the house as a contractor, so the ESB brought the power to the house and then you got a contractor. Mm-hmm. But if you went into the house and you said, right, Mrs., what do you want? And they'd say, a socket for the radio and the kettle. They shared the same thing. People were very careful.
So the radio went off to boil the kettle?
Yeah, absolutely. You were interchanging. Okay. And always a Sacred Heart light.
Sacred Heart was absolutely constant. It had to be. Rosemary Hartigan, thank you very much. Your talk is one of the many, many different events taking place at Johnstown Castle Museum over the course of the coming week. Thanks for coming.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.